We are joined now in the studio by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, and we're going to be talking about light rail again today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
So coming up, is it in a couple of days, there's a new development on the Durham-Orange light rail transit project?
Yes.
Dollard.
So our discussion is timely because, well, just to give a quick little backstory to it, back in February,
this will be the first ever quick little backstory to the light rail project that anyone's ever given ever.
In the continuing saga of the Durham Orange light rail project. But just recently in February, the Federal Transit Administration requested more documentation from Durham and Orange counties. And it was a quick turnaround on it. It had to be delivered by April 30th. And they're asking for an updated funding strategy to confirm that at least 15% of the total project cost or 30% of non-federal funding will come from dedicated local transit funds. And tied to that, just locally, there's the Durham and Orange County are also in the middle of renegotiating the cost-sharing agreement that was originally decided back in 2012, I think, with Orange County paying 23% of it and then Durham County paying the rest because there's been changes to the project, like stops added in Durham County. And so the thought in Orange County is kind of like, why are we still paying the same share? So we'll see what happens there. Now, I originally read that the Metropolitan Planning Organization was going to have a plan out for review on March 30th. I'm not quite sure right now if that is accurate, but it's because I also saw that it's coming out for public review the week of April 3rd.
Okay.
So it may be a few days later.
So and end then, of this week or beginning of next then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then on April 4th, there's a Board of County Commissioners, the Orange County Board of Commissioners are meeting, and they're going to get a presentation from their financial advisors. They're going to present results of a financial model analysis and then also update them on the cost sharing and implementation agreements at that time. So between that and April 18th, the public will have a chance to review the updated plans for the light rail project, it's the bus rail implementation plan as well. So it's more than just light rail; it's also buses, and they can speak their comments on April 18th at the county commissioners meeting. And then, you know, right after that, pretty much all of our local governments have kind of come to a decision on what they're submitting back to the FDA.
And part of it for people who are just joining us on this issue, part of the local funding crunch is because of the cap at the state level. They were going to cover 25% of the total cost. And the current state law says they're not going to cover more than 10%. So
right.
The other 15% has to be made up somewhere.
So it's up to 10. Yeah, back in 2012, it was originally going to be split with 25% state funding, like you said, 50% federal, and the remaining 25% would be local government. Covered that by a half-cent sales tax increase that was passed first in Durham County in 2011 and then here in 2012. But now the new local share cost is going to increase to something more like 40%. And at the same time, the anticipated expenditure on the light rail has doubled over the course of the past 4 years.
Yeah.
So
part of that's
know,
the extra stop, but only part of that is the extra stop. Right?
Yeah, only a small part of that. And so essentially the local share, based on the original estimates, local share cost has tripled. So a lot has changed.
Okay, so that's where we stand right now. We've got the decision that county commissioners are going to have to make by the end of next month, the next round of decisions that county commissioners in both Orange and Durham are going to have to make. So where do you stand on this? You've been opposed to light rail.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
still opposed to it. What would is there anything that would sway you the other way at this point? Is there
no.
a number or a study or anything at all that would come out?
If it was all privatized
okay.
and voluntarily done. And that's about the only way I think I would support it.
Okay, so here then is the question. Okay, so if that ends up being the county's decision and light rail gets put to the side, we've still got the population of Orange County and sort of the triangle doubling in the next couple
right.
of decades, and it's going to be a while before that happens in full. But you drive on 15501 or 54, that corridor between Orange and Durham counties now, it's already extremely heavy
yeah.
traffic. Like, I have to leave here and drive home, and the quickest way for me is to take 15501, and I don't even touch that road with a 10-foot pole during, even after 7 o'clock, because the traffic is really heavy, and it's only going to get worse. So in the absence of light rail on that specific corridor, what do we do to address transportation concerns? Because they're only going to get worse.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, congestion is definitely a problem, and I share your pain, because I commute from Hillsborough to Raleigh
yes.
on I-40 every day, just about. So I know how bad it can be. I try to travel during off times just because it can be such a headache. I tend to think that, you know, if we're going to have a lot of money spent on public mass transit, that the ideas presented by, I mean, there's several people who have been very vocal supporters of bus rapid transit systems, and expanding the bus system makes a lot more sense. You know, probably especially in Orange County versus a light rail system, which, you know, 3 miles of the project, which, you know, to us in Northern Orange County, it just seems like this is a train to connect UNC and Duke mm-hmm. and NC Central. And it doesn't serve the rest of Orange County, 84% of which is rural. So,
mm-hmm.
And the worry is also, since, you know, if everything goes as planned, you know, we're still facing a $1.5 billion project, you know, money that's going to have to be borrowed, money that's not even going to be paid off until 2062, it's estimated, and the light rail can't even be built until 2029,
mm-hmm.
and so there's the possibility that putting the money in a bus service, you could do that more immediately than light rail, because there are people who, you know, need transit now. As you're saying, the roads are congested now.
Mm-hmm.
12 years from now, it's going to be quite a lot worse. So do we really want to wait for that? And as, you know, we've seen in a lot of other cities around the country who have built light rail projects, sometimes it's come at a cost of the local bus service. Like, Charlotte is held up as this example of light rail success, and you know, it has added some new light rail riders, but for every new light rail rider, this is over the past few years, they've lost 17 bus riders, mm-hmm. it's estimated, and that's because they've had to decrease their spending in buses, which is unfortunate because it serves, you know, more geographically diverse and population, as well as, you know, minority communities and lower income communities are typically better served by bus transit. So, you know, it seems like if you're going to put taxpayer dollars into a transit system, the bus transit system is a better
speaking
option.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, and the bus rapid transit is the sort of the alternative that's been proposed, like really expanding that is the sort of public transit alternative that's been proposed for Orange County. And that's definitely something that would make a bigger impact in rural Orange and the part of Orange County that isn't the 15501-54 corridor. Would that be enough to address the congestion that is on the 15501-54 corridor, though? Or would it have to be rapid transit and something else?
That's an excellent question. I don't think I have the information to answer that, to be honest. I think that, from what I can tell from bus comparisons to light rail transit comparisons, I mean, light rail is a very high cost but low capacity system. And buses can't hold a lot of people either, but they can run more rapidly. And from what I've seen of, as each light rail, the plan has been updated, the operating frequency keeps getting lower and lower, and the travel time gets longer and longer. And there's going to be a lot of at-grade crossings, which present not only a safety hazard, but they stop traffic as well.
At-grade crossing, meaning the road actually, the track actually goes over the road.
Yes. Yeah. So when the train would come by, you'd have to stop traffic, which could create even more congestion problems, which buses, even with dedicated lanes and that sort of thing, they don't really cross over traffic like that. They still have to stop at stoplights and just like cars do. So, all that said, I don't think that the bus transit system is perfect either. I mean, you can look at Wake County, which opted not to do light rail, that they're going to be investing more in buses. And they're planning on really getting that off the ground in 2024. Mm-hmm. So buses don't happen overnight. So I don't want to make it sound like that. There's still a lot of eminent domain that goes on with building these dedicated lanes, which I'm not a fan of. But the cost per mile is about a tenth of the cost of light rail, and the maintenance, which people don't like to think about, is also a lot cheaper. I mean, with the light rail, it's going to be paid off potentially in 2062. So with the life expectancy of the track being about 30 years, it's not even going to be paid off before it has to be replaced. So, say if that was your car, you took out a 5-year car loan. I mean, it's like if your car died on year 4 and you hadn't even paid for it before your car died. So I don't know if that's really a good investment.
And the absence of getting people onto something like light rail that takes them off the roads, would we have to eminent domain that area on either side of 15501 to expand lanes out? Would there be a way to avoid that?
Oh no, with light rail, that's really eminent domain intensive too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, something that people don't think about either, I think, is that the track is going to take up a space that's about equivalent to 4 lanes of interstate.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying if there's any way to avoid eminent domain, if you want to do something about congestion.
There may be entities that will donate land. I mean, I'm sure that land that's already owned by UNC, Duke, they probably would. Institutions that are really, really going to benefit from it. But, I don't know how much it's really going to relieve congestion anyway, because typically people need to live within a quarter mile of a light rail track to be compelled to use it. And a lot of those people still use their cars anyway. So, it hasn't really been proven to change development patterns. That's another thing that I prefer from buses versus light rail, because at least bus routes are flexible. You can change those anytime a new development pops up. But light rail is where it is. And so, local officials are going to try to force development to go around this light rail because they can't have it fail after spending billions of dollars on it and, building this monument to themselves. But but who's going to take the cars away? And I mean, for people who can't afford to live who work in Durham or Orange County but can't afford to live there, that might live in Alamance County or Chatham County, I mean, those people are still going to be driving. So, you know, it's not going to serve those populations either.
We got to wrap up in just a second, but before we do, just another statement of where people can go to get more information or...
Oh,
on just the issue in general, is there a good sort of clearinghouse place for...
Well, I can. I don't have a URL, but
okay.
The Orange County has a website with a schedule of all of these meetings and things like that I talked about at the top of the segment on their website. It's called the Bus Rail Implementation Plan, I guess, the schedule for that. So you can get more information there and, you know, encourage people who live in the municipalities to check out when their local governments might have their public hearings, because I think they're also going to have them too. If you want to learn more about the light rail, I mean, there's Go Triangle. That's the entity that all the local governments pay into. That's, we've been paying into at $700,000 a month in Orange County to work on the light rail project. And then there's also a group that's dedicated to smart transit. It might be smarttransit.org. And they're the group that's really interested in bus rapid transit, which just wanted to say real quick. I mean, these are people that, you know, have gotten, there's been a narrative lately going around that they don't like public transit, but these people really do. They just think that there's a more cost-effective mode of transit that is better, that's higher capacity, and will be serving more populations over the long run. So they're very pro-public transit. They're just not in favor of the light rail. I mean, if they were against public transit, then I would have more in common with them, but I don't. So I just wanted to dispel that if I could.
And again, ourtransitfuture.com, is that the one you were thinking of earlier?
That sounds right.
That's the main one for the Durham Orange. I was frantically Googling while you were doing
that.
Yeah, ourtransitfuture.com is the other one, so you can find that. Ashley Campbell, we got to let you go, but thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Aaron.